that this is necessarily going to be an addendum to this morning's lesson. I don't think that it will be. I think we'll probably go in a different direction. But this thought has been on our hearts for a while, and I think it's one that probably should be preached on a Sunday morning, in my thinking. I don't know why it has to be preached tonight. God does. I don't know the reasoning for all things, but I know that as children of God, a lot of times we look around and we really question why we do some of the things that we do. And I want us to read these verses of Scripture tonight. And I want us to look at them very honestly. And I want us to look at them with not only an open heart, but an open mind. So if we'll start our reading tonight, and I could really start this at the first verse, but I just don't have time to read all of it. But if you'll start in the 14th verse of this 9th chapter, this is Paul doing the writing. And he says, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." But he says, "But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make me glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if I, against my will, a dispensation of this gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." Paul goes on to say, "For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." And I want to stop just a moment there. He wasn't talking about Paul doing the saving, but he was talking about Paul being the one that carried the gospel to them so that they might be saved. That's what he's saying. He wasn't saying that Paul did the saving. He's saying that I carry the gospel to them so that they might be saved. And he said, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And if we could take for a thought this evening, for just a few moments, it would be, why do I even care? You know, as I look at this scripture and these verses of scripture, I read of a man who was formerly named Saul. All of us know his story, as he was there on the road to Damascus, and the Lord spoke to him, and he basically told Paul, he told him, he said, "You know, it's hard, Paul, for you to kick, or Saul, for you to kick against the pricks. Paul, you know, or Saul, you know what you're doing is hard. You know that you have turned yourself against this people that will eventually overcome. They're going to beat you, Paul or Saul, and they're going to win. So you know that it is hard to kick against those pricks, Paul or Saul," and I'll get his name right here in a moment. We know that he becomes Paul. So for tonight, we'll just stick with Paul so we can have clarity of that. But you know, as Paul was there on the road to Damascus, some would say that he had to get over into Damascus where Ananias was before that he was saved. I believe that Paul was saved right there on the road to Damascus. You talk about a time and a place, I believe that was his time and his place. I also believe that the Lord had something in store for Paul. I don't believe Paul was saved just to be Paul. I don't think he was changed just to be Paul. I don't think God saves us just to save us and allow us to sit on a seat and say, look at us, we're doing something by being at church or just taking up a spot. I believe God saves us for a very important job, and I believe that that is to tell the world what He has done for us. I don't think we're saved just to be saved. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't think salvation is something that just says, look at us, we're going to heaven. Look at how good we are. I don't think we're saved just to go to heaven. I believe we're saved so that others might be saved because of that. I told you this morning that we are ambassadors for Christ, and we are ambassadors for our Christ, our Lord. And if we fail in being an ambassador, it is a failure to those that we are around. And I want to get to the point tonight. Why do I even care? You know, as a preacher, sometimes we ask ourselves, I know Brother Don probably has, I ask myself, why do I even care about preaching the gospel? What does it make a difference if I'm the one that does it or if somebody else does it? I'm reminded here of what Paul said. He said, I became such and such things that I might gain those that are that way. He said, I became a Jew so that I might win the Jews. I became weak so that I might gain the weak. I believe tonight that every one of us have a mission that we're on. You know, as a preacher, when I was told my call to preach, I had no idea that I'd be a pastor. I had no idea where I was going. None of us tonight have any idea of where we're going or what we're supposed to be doing, except God would lead us. I believe Paul let God lead him. As he was talking about these scriptures, as he was talking about this here, he said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I want us to understand something tonight. None of us, of our own accord, have anything to glory in. We are just sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. If you want to be exact about it, the only good thing about me tonight is what God saved when He looked down and gave that little boy that hard flesh. That is the good part of me. This flesh that I have, it's nothing more than a bag of bones, a bag of dust for these bones to live in. I have nothing to glory of in this preaching of the gospel. We live in a society today where people take preachers or preachers take themselves and they make more of themselves than what they are. I'll tell you tonight, I believe that preaching is one of the greatest professions, and I call it a profession because if you're going to do it, you better give it your all if you're going to do it. And I believe you better make it your all in all, and you better go in all for it if you're going to preach. Well, that preaching better come with a call. And I say this, today we live in a society where many people, they want to make themselves preachers. They say, well, if I preach, somebody will say how good that I am or what I'm doing. They will say, don't you see all of the good things that I do? I want you to understand tonight. Anything that happens because of the preaching that I do, it's because of God Himself. He's the one that helps us preach. He's the one that helps us study. He's the one that gives us a mind to do it. He's the one that allows us to have the liberty and the spirit to do it. And He's the one that guides lost people. He's the one that directs saved people. But He chooses vessels to do that. As He said, for I preach the gospel, for I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yet woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul obviously knew that there was a reason that he preached the gospel. You say, preacher, I'm not a preacher. I don't know why you're preaching this message. Brothers and sisters, it's not just the preachers that have a care tonight. If you don't understand that about having a care, why do I care? Why do I care if anybody gets saved? Why do I care if anybody ever hears the gospel? I'll tell you tonight, without the gospel, nobody will be saved. Nobody. You see, people must hear the gospel. I'm not crazy enough to say that it has to be through an old-time Baptist preacher. I'll tell you tonight, the gospel can be presented in a lot of different ways, but I believe that the gospel must be presented to someone before that they can be saved. I believe they've got to be pricked in their hearts. And you know what pricks the hearts of mankind? The gospel does. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus, it pricks people's hearts. And it shows them that they are in a lost condition. Why do we care about this? If you can't understand why that you care about the gospel or the preaching of the gospel, brothers and sisters, your attitude is wrong for a saved person. If you can honestly say tonight, I don't care about anybody else and about their salvation, woe unto you. You see, I believe tonight more than anything, if I don't preach the gospel, it is going to be a dispensation upon me. There is going to be a penalty that I will pay for not doing what God has asked me to do. I believe even further than that, those that have been saved and do not do the things that God requires of them, there's going to be a dispensation upon them. They will be judged for the things that they have done. I believe the Scripture says that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll answer for the good things and the bad things that we have done in this body. And you say, preacher, why do we care? When you look at these Scriptures and what Paul said, he says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul said he was a free man. Over in Acts, he calls himself a free man. When I was growing up, I remember sitting in history classes and I would hear them teach about slavery and how people were enslaved by masters and how that they had somebody that was over them and how that they had to serve that master. You see, Paul was saying, I am a free man, yet I have become a servant so that I might gain. You know, we sing a lot of songs. One of the songs we sang tonight was just over in the glory land. You know, when slaves, if you've ever watched much TV or if you've ever heard much about some of the things that happened on a plantation, you know that when slaves were out working in the field, they'd sing songs while they worked. And they would sing songs, and sometimes they had an ulterior motive to them. There'd be something that those songs were talking about, but sometimes those old songs, they would sing them, and they'd be talking about going to heaven. They'd be singing about a heaven, and sometimes for them that meant getting free of their slavery, of their bondage. I had a question, and I had lunch with a friend of mine this week, and one of the things that we discussed was our singing in churches. And I said, you know, we sing a lot of songs about heaven. I like singing about heaven. I enjoy it. And I asked him, I said, why do you think it is that we sing about heaven? And he said, it's because that we're looking forward to that time when we can lay down this walk of life. And I thought how true it is. We're looking forward to going home. We're looking forward to laying down the shackles and the burdens and the slavery that we're in bondage to, enslaved to in this life. I don't say this lightly. I don't believe I'm a slave to the gospel, that I've been made to do it, but I became a willing slave to the gospel. You say, preacher, what's that mean? You say I'm willingly in slavery. I tell you what, I have the greatest master that there ever has been. It is a willing thing that I get up here and do this. I'll tell you something. If I didn't love God, if I didn't have a desire to see lost people saved, I'll tell you something. I wouldn't be up here. I look around and I see people today, and I see a lot of people that have the attitude, I don't have to go, and I don't have to do, and I don't have to work, and I don't have to care. Because I'm saved, and that's all that matters. I'm saved, so I'm going. And it doesn't matter what anybody else happens to them. I'll say this, working as a child of God is one of the hardest things you will ever do. You're going to take criticism from everybody around you. You're going to take pot shots from everybody around you. As Paul said over here, he said, "Know ye not they which run in a race, run all of it." He said, "But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." I don't say these things lightly tonight about having things that come your way. You see, we're running a race. If you were running an endurance race, you would come up on things. You would get tired. Your body would be weak. And I'll say this. Serving the Lord is not something that we just do physically. Serving the Lord also involves some spiritual endurance. I believe you've got to build up your stamina spiritually. It's not something that we just exercise on Sunday morning. Paul was talking about running this race, and he was talking about those that run. They run to obtain. They run all the way. They set out to do it all the way. Brothers and sisters, we must obtain, we must run all that we may obtain. The more we're not doing this to obtain a corruptible crown. I hear people in a lot of things, "Well, what am I going to get out of it? What am I going to get if I do that? If I serve the Lord, what's going to be in it for me? If I do this, what am I going to get out of it?" I want you to understand tonight, serving God doesn't always come with a fine mansion on the side of the hill in this life. I have known a lot more preachers that were not as well off as I've known preachers that were. I've seen a lot of God's people, and I have seen this, and I have kind of figured this out on my own. God's people, most of the time, are a working class bunch of people. They're people that have had to work and have had to do things to provide for themselves. And they're depending on God. When we talk about those in the Bible, it says it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than it is for the camel to go through the eye of the needle. It's harder for people that have a lot in this world to humble themselves down to a point where they can realize that they need a Savior. And so they want to know, what am I going to get out of it? Brothers and sisters, I look forward to going to heaven. I look forward to the rewards that are there, but I am not there yet. I'm not there yet. You see, I started that internship, and I was kind of joking around with Mom, and I said, "This is kind of the start of me looking toward retirement, you know, and what happens when you retire." And I thought, oh, good gracious, I've become one of those people that are already talking about retirement. You see, I'm 23 years old, about to be 24. You see, as time goes, I've got a few years to labor to get to retirement. I may never make it. But you see, all of us tonight that have been saved, we're on this road. We're on the way for Christ. We're all working together. We're running this race. Some of you started it a long time before I did. You've been on the way a lot longer. You've seen things that I've not seen. You're heading on down the journey. Maybe your race is on the downhill part of it. Maybe you see the checkered flag in view. Maybe you're looking toward home tonight. But your race is not run yet. You're still here. He says we run not to obtain a corrupt, incorruptible crown, but we run to obtain that. I believe I said incorruptible. We're running to obtain that incorruptible crown. Not a crown that's going to be of this world. You see, we don't do these things. I don't do these things, and I pray you don't. So that the world may look at us and say, look what we have done. Look what I have accomplished. Brothers and sisters, when I lay down this walk of life, I don't want someone to say, look at his bank account and look at all that he's amassed. I pray that just one person could say, he has fought for the old time way. And he has been on the journey. And his time has come to go just over in the glory land. When we sing about come morning, as we sang that song this morning, we're carrying our cross through the midnight. Oh, but someday come morning, There's not going to be another test that we've got to face. But there's going to be glory on the winning side. Paul wrote these scriptures. And he said, "But I keep my body and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He said, "I do these things so that when I stand to preach, that the world doesn't cast me off and say, 'He's not someone that is tried. He's not someone we want to listen after.'" Some of you remember there was a preacher back in the 80s and the 90s, and I don't necessarily believe he's a preacher, but he was on television and he got caught doing some things. He had a big church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And he had to get on national television and he had to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to be honest with you, I wouldn't give him the time of day now. I wouldn't give him time of day to begin with, but I wouldn't give him the time of day now. You see, when you do things in this life to set yourself as a castaway, we're not helping the cause any. As we tried to preach this morning, we are an ambassador. You see, as I run this race, I run it with the banner of Christ draped around me. And I say, I'm on His side. I'm running for Him. I want to read a few other verses of Scripture tonight. I've spent a lot more time on that than I intended to. I want you to turn, and I believe if we can find it tonight, to Acts chapter 9. This is Paul and his conversion. When the Lord was speaking to Ananias, I want to get back to why we care tonight. But I want to try to present this in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. In the 9th chapter, in the 15th verse, the Lord spoke and He said, "Go thy way, Ananias, because he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." And this next part, it hits home a little bit with me. He says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Paul suffered a lot. You see, Paul, in my opinion, if you read the scriptures and you know anything about old Saul and what he did, we know that he persecuted the church. I believe he was probably a high-ranking official. And I believe he probably had a lot of clout in the things that he could do. And so for Paul to turn around and become a Christian, to become saved against a group of people that he hated, why, no doubt people persecuted him for that. They might look at him and they might say, "That's the very people that you used to turn against, that you used to be the ones to persecute yourself." Family and friends, they wouldn't like him anymore. Have you ever had somebody in your family that didn't like you or didn't care for you because of what you believed? You see, my family is kind of split in what we are as far as churches go. There is another group of my extended family on my grandmother, great-grandmother's side. They're another denomination, and you get together with them at a family reunion and you can't even say a prayer around those people. They don't want you to have anything to do or anything to say against what they are and what they believe. I don't think has any substance to it. And bless their hearts, when you get around them, there's the Missionary Baptist and then there's the other group. It's almost like they can't intermingle. You see, families sometimes get divided. We're going to read some more scripture in a few moments about the cost of discipleship. You see, there's a cost in all of this. And I want to try to explain that if God will help us. But He says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." As I read to you this morning in the 17th chapter of the book of John, when Christ was praying for us, you know, Christ took the ultimate sacrifice for us. He did. You see, we act like we suffer sometimes. Somebody say something about our Baptist heritage, and boy, we're ready to put the dukes up and go to fighting now. We act like we've been really persecuted. I don't see anybody here tonight that has taken a beating, that has been whipped, that has been spat upon, that has been just ripped to shreds over what they believe. I'm not saying we won't. We live fairly comfortably with persecution around us. People might say things to us, but we have not had our lives taken like some of the men and women in times past. You want to talk about some people that suffered, that ran the race? I'll tell you tonight, there's a lot of people that have gone before us and have blazed the trail for us tonight. You want to talk about some people that are going to be in the bride of Christ? There are some people, and you read about them over in Revelations, that have been the martyrs for the old time church and how that she still stands in the way that she does today. We talk about the bride a lot, and I hear people say, I'm going to be in the bride. I want you to understand tonight to be in that. You're going to have to work for the Lord. You see, being in the bride is more than just being a member of God's church. I believe that. I believe there's some things that we've got to strive with God to do in order to be in that bride. I'm going to tell you, I believe you've got to sell yourself out completely to God. You see, those that make it into the bride, they're going to be the ones that have been on the way and have been fighting for everything that they have for the church. It's not going to be some of us, and I don't know. I don't think by the scriptures you can say indefinitely that you are in or you are out. I believe God makes that determination. And I believe someday when we get there, whether I make it in there, I pray and I want to do everything that I can to make it into that number that says, they shall walk with me in that white apparel in the bride of Christ. I want to be in part of that. And so I think we need to strive the best we can, even if we suffer for His name's sake. I want to do everything I can to make it there. But I know this. I'm going to be there. I'll be at the wedding. I may not be in the bridal party, but I'll be at the wedding. And I won't be jealous on that day. But I'm going to say something tonight. Every single member of this church, every one of us, not one of us are outside the bounds of having to serve God. We should all be striving to be a part of that bride of Christ. It's going to be a very beautiful thing. It's going to be a reward above rewards. I don't believe we'll be jealous over there. I don't think we'll be upset over somebody else that's been in it, because I believe we'll know. Those are the ones that have fought hard, and they have fought with everything that they have for the church and for God's cause. Some verses of scripture, and I may not be able to find them tonight. I don't know. I may have unmarked them. And I believe it's in the Luke 14th chapter. We'll turn there and we'll see. I believe that's where we're at. Luke 14th chapter. Luke 14 and 25th. Verse. This is Jesus doing the talking. He says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Do you remember when you got saved? I made all kinds of deals with God. I did. You probably did too. You were probably offering to do anything you could that the Lord save your soul. You see, but He wasn't looking at the father, the mother, the sister, the brother. He was looking at our hearts. And He could see that we was willing to give over it all. We didn't have to come willing to do it, or to do it actually, but we had to be willing to give up everything. When you believe with all of your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul, you will forsake everything to be saved. If you don't do that, you'll never be saved. But you see, He says, you cannot be my disciple. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then He goes on to say, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Count the cost tonight. I told you this morning, you've got two possibilities. You can either get saved and serve the Lord, or you can die and go to hell. That's your option tonight. And you're going to say, preacher, I have another option that's probably in there. Most of you know what I'm fixing to talk about, because most of you have probably seen it.
We've probably talked about it. We've probably preached about it. Somebody gets saved and then you never see them do anything for the Lord. Preacher, where's that option at? I like that one. It means I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm going to heaven, but I don't have to do anything. Brothers and sisters, I don't think it's not that those people care. I think it's that somebody didn't care enough to teach those people why that they should be servants of God. You see, and I believe tonight, as people get saved here at Mount Calvary, we need to instill in them, there's something that you need to do. And you need to be about telling somebody about what Christ has done for you and serve God with everything. I've told you time and time again, and I believe it to be the truth, Missionary Baptist people are some of the worst about keeping their converts. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Look around tonight. Take a look. Take a big gander. Most of you all have seen a lot of people get saved in this church. I have seen, I've told you before, there were many that got saved when I did. And you know how many of them still attend church on a regular basis? One. His name's Patrick Spears. I've talked about him a lot. He's my best friend. He still attends. Where are the rest of them? We have got to keep those around us to run this race with. We've got to instill in them that there is something that we care about. What do we care about tonight? It's Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Number one, as we look around us, I care about lost people. I'm going to tell you something. If I didn't love them, I wouldn't get up here and yell at them every Sunday. I wouldn't get up here and make a fool out of myself. The Scripture says that the preaching is foolishness to them that are without. Look, I wouldn't get up here and do the things that I do. I wouldn't get up here and make some of the silly faces and the silly steps that I do. And I wouldn't study and I wouldn't devote my life to Christ if I didn't care about those that were lost. I wouldn't do it. I'd walk out right now and I'd be done. I'd say, guess what? Find somebody else to do the job because I don't care. You say, preacher, that's harsh. But I look around us, as time goes on, there's a few of us here tonight. Maybe just a few. I'm praying and I'm banking on and I'm believing that God is going to save Rachel and Ryan someday. I'm believing in that. There's a few of us here tonight that are under the age of 30. And brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about you older ones. We need you all. If you leave, I don't know what we'll do. I guess me and Caitlin will just sit around and we'll try to carry on. But brothers and sisters, I am concerned about our future generations. I'm worried about it. Because I don't think there's enough people that truly care sincerely about the work. We care about lost people. What do we care about secondly? I care about this church. I do. Brothers and sisters, I stay up at night trying to figure out some way for us to do better. When, brothers and sisters, God has blessed us. But as a human being, I want to see more. And I believe God wants to do more. I believe that. If you don't, we're not going to move very far. I believe God wants to do more. I believe He wants to build His kingdom. I believe He wants to build to us here. I believe He wants to add to us. I believe that. I believe you all care about Him. You know how I know that? Because you show up. There's somebody that cares. There's been somebody that's cared about this place since 1971. If you didn't care about it, you wouldn't be here tonight. If you didn't care about it, you wouldn't show up every week. Somebody has cared. Somebody cared enough about me to continue holding services in the church that was organized in 1840. A long time after that, there'd be a little boy that'd grow up in that church and he'd be saved there. You know, I hope and pray that in 200 years, I'll be long gone. You will be too. Every one of us in this building will be long gone. But you know what my prayer is? That somebody cares enough about Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church that they will carry on the old-time way. The Scripture says there'll be a remnant somewhere. I believe there will be, and I pray it's right here at Mount Calvary. I don't know if this building will be here on Knowles Road, but I pray this band of people is somewhere in Nashville telling somebody the truth. We're living in a society today where people don't want to hear much about the truth anymore. They think they want to know the truth, but they're hearing a version of the truth that's not the truth. So why do I care? Why do I care how you live your life? I heard someone say one time, and I don't think it was necessarily about something I preached, it wasn't here, but I heard somebody say about the preacher. They said, you know, the preacher, he stays on us a lot about how that we invite people to church and how that we live our lives. You know, I don't understand why the preacher cares about those things. You know why the preacher cares? Because he worries about the lost people. And he worries about the church. And he wants you to be a witness to somebody. He wants you to be a light to somebody. You know why? Because Brother Gregory can't be everywhere. You can't be everywhere. I can't be at your jobs with you all day. And I can't stand over you and say, I'm their preacher. And they've been saved. I can't answer the questions for you. You see, as I preached last Sunday night about growing in grace and in knowledge, you see, if people don't care enough to study about the Word of God, it's not going to do any good to study it. Brothers and sisters, I'm thankful tonight. And you say, preacher, that's a very harsh message for a Sunday evening. I didn't come back to get fussed at. I promise you, this is not a fussing message. It's an I care about you, and I pray that you care. I believe, I'll be honest with you, I look around tonight and I see some people that genuinely care about lost people. And I believe you genuinely care about the gospel. If you didn't care, you wouldn't keep on. And I'm asking you not to get discouraged. I'm asking you not to get weighed down with the things of this world and say, why don't we just give up? You know how many times I have said after I get in the car on Sunday evening, and I said, well, I don't know why I don't just give up. If we all had that attitude, nobody'd get saved. Nobody would. But you see, I'm concerned about them. I know you're concerned about them. It's easy sometimes to be discouraged. It's easy sometimes to get upset and downhearted with other people and our families because they won't come to church or they won't do this or they won't do that. Brothers and sisters, you care about them and you pray for them and you love them and you show them the way. As Paul said, I want to turn back there tonight. I had other scripture, but we'll just forego that. In the 19th verse of the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I think this is something that we can all glean from tonight. Talked about those slaves. You know, those slaves back when the United States was first formed, they didn't want to be slaves. They didn't enjoy their slavery. They wanted freedom. You see, what happens when you get saved is you become free from the bondages of sin. But you see, the Scripture says that we're... the Lord is our master. He is our keeper. You see, this isn't something that we don't like. This isn't something that we're doing because we are saddened or that we're belabored by Him or anything of that nature. You know what the Scripture says? He says, come. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. It's not something that's taxing or worrisome in a sense that it's going to cause us to have to give up everything. But what it does mean is that we give ourselves wholly to God in everything that we do. When that talks about that cost of discipleship, you want to talk about a cost that was paid. When Christ gave His life, He paid the ultimate cost for us. When it talks about that builder, He says, does a builder sit down and consider the cost before he finishes it? Or does he just start building and doesn't consider what it's going to cost to finish it? You know what the ultimate, and I told you the ultimate end goal is, either serve God, or say get saved and serve God, or go to hell. I believe all of us would say tonight, it's better to serve God and go to heaven than it is to go to hell. If you don't agree with that, well, I can't help you. See, most people today, you start talking about work, and they think we're talking about you've got to pick up a shovel and an axe and go to work. And this is something that doesn't require you to pick up an axe or a shovel. Now, every now and then, as the church here at Mount Calvary does, we have a cleaning day. So it might make you have to pick up a rag every now and then and shine on an old building. We're talking about picking up the cross. And I'm not talking about getting you a cross out of your house today, going and getting you 2x4s and shoving them together and going up, walking down Nolensville Road with a cross on your back. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about picking up the way of Christ and living your life in the way that Christ would have for us to do. That's what I'm talking about.
But as Paul said, he says, "For though I be free from all men, though I be a free man, yet I have made myself a servant unto all." Why, Paul? That I might gain the more. I'll say this. I will willingly get up in front of a congregation, scream and holler and yell and do whatever I got to do, make myself look like a fool if I have to. I'll spend my life studying. I'll try to do what I can to learn more about church doctrine and the way that churches work. And I'll try to be a better pastor. If that's what it takes, I'll be a servant. The Scripture says that it is better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'll do all of those things gladly if it gains the more. I told you, there's some people out there today and they'll say, "Preacher, if it's going to cost me very much, I don't want to do it." Got some people that hold on to a nickel until they've just about bent it in two. I'm not asking you. You know, the church, and I'm not going to get off into this, we'd be here a while. There's some things that we've got to do to upkeep church. You may have to give money to the church, and I believe you should. But I'm telling you, the benefits far outweigh the cost. If it costs a little bit of money every now and then for us to serve God, let's do it. If it costs us a little bit of our time, I'm going to tell you, in the grand scheme of things, the time that we give God is a whole lot less than the time that we have throughout the rest of the week and other times. If it takes us giving up our time to serve God, let's count the cost. Because I believe all of us, I'm not an accountant or a CPA, but I believe the benefits far outweigh the cost. Amen. I believe they do. And I told you about retirement. You know, they've got this system in place, and some of you are smiling tonight. You get I think it's Social Security or something like that, or maybe something you've paid in. I think that's what it is. And they say by the time I retire, it'll probably be dried up, so there probably won't be any left. And that's fine. I may never get to retire. I may die before I get there. Whatever retirement benefits that I have at the time, I'm sure they'll be satisfactory for me to live a comfortable life. I hope they are, if I make it. But I'm telling you tonight, serving God comes with the best retirement benefits that there ever have been. And you know what? I'm not even there yet. Some people, when they retire, they move off to Florida so they can live in paradise. Sister Stella will probably be smiling at me here in just a minute. She moved back. People will work and then they'll try to find some place to go rest and relax. As we sing these songs about heaven and just over in the glory land and come morning and what a day that will be. You know why we can be joyous in singing those songs? It's because the toils, the strife, the turmoils, they'll all be left behind. Some of you tonight are going to get there a whole lot sooner than I am. I don't know when you're going to get there. I don't have the time sheet waiting on you for me to kind of direct you off in that direction. I don't have it. Glad I don't. I don't want any of you to go. I'd rather us all just go together. I don't want to be without any of you. But aren't you glad tonight that the Scripture says that He has a place prepared for those that love Him? Why do we care? Is somebody in your mind tonight that you care about, that you want to see saved? I'm sure there is. There's somebody on my heart, my mind tonight that I'd love to see saved. Why do I care? Why do I get up here? And why do I do this? Why do I get up on Sunday morning and get dressed, come church? Why do I sit down during the week and why do I flip open this Bible? Why do I begin to pray and why do I begin to study? Why do we care? The world would say there's no use in it. But Paul said that he became these things that he might gain the more. That's why we care, that we might gain the more. May God bless you. He's our prayer. Standing together, we'll sing.